The Chinese app WeChat has accomplished what some U.S. tech companies can only dream of.
They allow these other apps to be embedded inside of it, which means that it's possible from morning to night. I don't even have to leave the app.
From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. Here in the U.S., if you want to, you could use Facebook Messenger to do quite a bit. Pay people or companies, trade stocks, order an Uber or a Lyft, play games, use company chatbots to, I don't know, order flowers. 1.2 billion people use Messenger monthly. It is trying to become the app you never need to leave. But there's a whole parallel tech economy in China, where Facebook, Twitter, and Google are banned. Jennifer Pak is Marketplace's new China correspondent. She said the app she can't live without is WeChat.
It started out as a voice messaging app where it was just too cumbersome to text in Chinese characters. So they made it almost like a walkie-talkie. So it was suitable for young people who were walking busily to their next meeting, and they can easily record these messages to each other. From there, they gained a following, and then they just exploded when they got a pay function. It made people very comfortable with doing tiny transactions and comfortable with using WeChat to pay. You could also say they've combined Facebook features in there, so you have a feed that you can show your friends all the yummy foods that you're buying from WeChat. And they allow these other apps to be embedded inside of it, which means that it's possible from morning to night. I don't even have to leave the app.
I think there's been some awareness that there existed these messaging apps off in China that could do all of these things. We're starting to see Facebook Messenger now really specifically make moves in those directions. You can trade stocks in Messenger. They're integrating payments. But that's causing a little bit of a panic, right? A freak out about whether Facebook has too much power or whether it's anti-competitive. Is there any of that concern with WeChat? Is anybody in China worried that WeChat is putting little apps out of business?
Well, the simple answer is no. And I'll tell you why. The assumption in China is that the Chinese government already has all of your information. It's fairly restrictive in that, you know, if they wanted to, Chinese officials and the police can track you. So if that is the case, why not do it for a bit of convenience? Because the other part of it is that traditional banking is so utterly painful in China. Long queues, very slow. Also, not a lot of places really take credit cards. So here is WeChat and also Alipay that both offer mobile payments that have no time lag. It's seamless, no extra fees. All you have to do is tie your bank card to it. So why not?
Do you think that that approach, that sort of do-it-all approach, would fly in the West from your experiences, you know, in sort of both sides, or a similar application where lots of things are possible in one app? Do you think U.S. consumers want that?
I think it's, to be honest, I was in China in 2006 to 2009, and I left for a period of 6 years. And in that time span, when I went back, suddenly I couldn't live without my smartphone. It was almost impossible to get along in daily life. And I resisted for a very long time. I downloaded all the apps and I use WeChat to communicate because people don't even give business cards now, by the way. I was the dinosaur giving business cards. The people I meet at conferences, they said, oh, just scan my code, the QR code, and you can have my contact. But I resisted the payment because I thought, I don't know about this. I think it sounds a bit dodgy. What if it's not safe? And I tell you, I didn't last very long. And so if you ask me if this is something that can happen, in the U.S., I would say no, for the reasons I pointed out earlier, which is that Chinese government and Chinese citizens believe that they're already being surveillance. So it doesn't matter. Privacy is not an issue for them. If it means convenience, then why not? Secondly, regulations are not really well put in place. So things are happening at a very rapid pace in China. And the government is playing catch up with these regulations. Because think about it. If so many people are using these mobile payments, what are the banks getting? they have no information. So on a day-to-day basis, if I went to go take a taxi in the morning to the office, I went for lunch across the street, I then went to the supermarket to get some water, I went back home and I bought, groceries from a different app and I paid through WeChat or Alipay. This bank, this information, none of it goes to the bank. All it would say is WeChat, 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 Alipay, Alipay, Alipay. So it's one of those things where it's still in a gray area. I'm pretty sure the banks are very upset about it. But at the same time, the regulations haven't been put in place yet. So in the meantime, you have these companies flourishing and trying out all sorts of things. And I don't see that really happening in the U.S. simply because I guess the U.S. is pretty well regulated.
So then on that note, what is something, you know, what's an app that everybody in the U.S. uses that you wish you had?
I would say this. In China, if you are a Chinese citizen, you have a Chinese ID card, you have a Chinese bank account, and you read Chinese, actually everything works in tandem and perfectly with each other. And life is super easy. The best way to understand China's internet is that it's really an intranet. It's enclosed right in that system. And when you're inside, everything works perfectly. But once you get out or you have something a bit different, it gets a little bit more difficult. So it's a bit tough when you have it. It doesn't really work well with other apps.
Jennifer Pak is Marketplace's new China correspondent based in Shanghai. WeChat owner Tencent has flourished in the absence of other competition. It has a $450 billion market cap compared to Facebook's $500 billion value. WeChat has about 1 billion users. And Alibaba, China's Amazon competitor, is also valued at around $440 billion. And it's so big that Tencent recently teamed up with Chinese e-commerce retailer JD.com and Walmart to try to challenge Alibaba's dominance. So perhaps the real challengers to Facebook and Amazon have yet to arrive in the West. And now it is Feedback Friday. You heard Jennifer Pak talk about the things we will do for convenience. So I want to ask you guys about delivery and on-demand services like Postmates. How much are you willing to pay to get restaurant orders or cold medicine, maybe beer, delivered to your house? And is there a point where the cost is just too high to justify the convenience? Please email your answers or your voice memos to mptech@marketplace.org. Stephanie Hughes is the producer of Marketplace Tech. She said she would pay a premium to have firewood delivered to her Brooklyn apartment. Ben Tolliday is our engineer. He said he would pay a bundle for a delivery of Australian mangoes. He's Australian, in case you're wondering. I'm Molly Wood, and I'll always pay extra for mac and cheese or maybe hot coffee. That's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.